The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, at 340.3 million barrels, its lowest level since 1983, deserves more attention than it typically gets in daily coverage. The reserve was built after the 1973 oil embargo, specifically as an emergency buffer. At the current drawdown rate of roughly 8.9 million barrels per week, the buffer is being consumed to manage supply disruptions from the Iran conflict. But there's a policy question about when drawdowns become counterproductive. At some point, you're consuming your emergency stockpile so fast that the buffer itself becomes inadequate to handle a true supply shock.
The precedent most worth studying is the 2022 drawdown during the post-Ukraine invasion oil price spike, when the Biden administration released roughly 180 million barrels over several months to bring prices down. That drawdown worked in the near term, but left the reserve at levels that were already being debated as too low. The current situation continues that depletion trajectory, and the political calculus is always high gas prices now versus reduced emergency capacity later.
The Pence-founded think tank report claiming Trump tariffs suppressed 1 million jobs is interesting for multiple reasons. First, because it comes from a conservative-aligned organization, not a Democratic or progressive one. When Republicans criticize Republican tariff policy on employment grounds, it carries different weight than identical criticism from the left. Second, the 1 million jobs figure is a counterfactual, what would have happened without tariffs, which is always methodologically tricky. But the directional argument that tariffs increase costs for domestic manufacturers who use imported inputs is mainstream economics.
Musk's rebuttal to claims that government support built Tesla is worth examining with some precision. His argument is that Tesla's continued sales growth after federal EV tax credits expired proves the company isn't subsidy dependent. That's not wrong as far as it goes, but it somewhat sidesteps the question. The early stage support, Department of Energy loans, federal tax credits for EV buyers, provided runway during a period when Tesla was genuinely at risk of failing. The question isn't whether Tesla needs subsidies now. It's whether it would have survived long enough to not need them without that early support. Those are different questions.
The Dell Air Force contract, $1.44 billion for Microsoft licensing, is a reminder of how much government IT spending flows through enterprise hardware and software companies. Dell winning this particular contract also reflects the ongoing consolidation of defense and federal IT around a small number of trusted providers with appropriate security clearances and compliance frameworks.
SAP NS2 earning top-level U.S. defense cloud authorization is in the same category. The Defense Department needs cloud computing infrastructure for sensitive workloads, and the list of companies cleared to handle that data is short. SAP NS2 getting that clearance opens a significant revenue opportunity in federal cloud, which is one of the most defensible and recurring revenue streams in enterprise technology.
The UAW's Sean Fain, seeking a second term as the Detroit convention opens, connects to a broader labor moment. The UAW's 2023 strike against Ford, GM, and Stellantis was one of the more dramatic labor actions in recent memory, and Fain led it aggressively. His re-election bid will test whether members credit that approach with delivering tangible gains. The contracts negotiated post-strike included significant wage increases, or whether there's appetite for a different direction.
Whether that coalition holds together for an actual vote is another matter.
Microsoft shutting down compulsion games and laying off 90 employees is a painful story for anyone who followed the studio. Compulsion made We Happy Few, and more recently, South of Midnight. These Microsoft gaming studio closures have become a recurring pattern since the Activision Blizzard acquisition. The company acquired enormous gaming assets and is now rationalizing which studios it actually wants to operate. For the developers affected, it's a devastating outcome, regardless of the corporate logic.